kind of happens to be one of my favorite hymns. I actually asked my friend Buck Storm, who's a musician, to play that before I speak sometimes, so it's kind of nice. And it's also, with the Lord being our vision and not envisioning a new alternative future, which is what we're being told to visualize. Visualization is one of the techniques that came out of the New Age movement. Guided meditations, things like that, actually bring on the spirit world. But we're told in the New Age that we can create our own reality by reimagining. You probably heard, reinventing yourself, reimagining the future, reimagining this. It's in a lot of the ads that are out there today. But be thou my vision, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Years ago, my wife and I went to the Ghirardelli Chocolate Factory in San Francisco. And we ordered our sundae and got our number. And we were waiting, and they were calling out numbers, and all of a sudden we heard 666. And this voice goes, yes. And this guy did sort of a Frankensteinian walk up to the counter to get his ice cream. And the laughter that was in the place was, it was nervous laughter. It wasn't like hilarious laughter. The subject of Antichrist brings up nervousness, and it brings up anxiety in a lot of people, and maybe rightfully so. It's not a very pleasant subject. However, we're told by Jesus Christ in Matthew 24, when asked the sign of his coming and the end of the age, he said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Yesterday's title of my talk was The Right Hand of Falsehood, and it was taken from Psalm 144, and I'd just like to read that. Let's see if I can. Just cutting down to line number 11, verse 11 in Psalm 144. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I think I'm going to still have to adjust this a little bit more. Okay, that'll be a little bit better. Because I'm going to be looking down. I don't want to. So, this is the book, Jesus Calling, written by Sarah Young. Sorry, I don't have something I can put up on the screen, but some of you have seen this book. Many people have bought 20 copies of this book and passed them out to their friends. It's one of those things like the shack that's been passed out to everybody. And right here in the center of the book, there's a hand reaching out, like, come on and read this book and take part in what Jesus has told me. The author, Sarah Young, had an encounter with, she thinks, Jesus. And I'd like to just read her description. Actually, my copy of the book got... Well, what she did is she said that she was at Le Brie in France. And she had a walk in the moonlight, and there was snow on the ground, and all of a sudden there was this presence, this mystical presence that was around her. And she said involuntarily, sweet Jesus. And she said, I knew that I was instantly converted. Now, this is not the way that you come to Jesus Christ. And she said about a year later, she was in a hotel room in Atlanta, Georgia. And she said she had this same presence that she just knew unquestionably was Jesus Christ. We're told to test the spirits, 1 John 4:1, to make sure that what we're listening to is really of the Lord, whether it's something that we're reading in Scripture or if it's something that we're hearing. In this case, she's hearing the voice of Jesus. So, Johanna Michelson, her book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, was the book that was used to bring me to the Lord. And she was a woman who was in Mexico City. As a new believer, she got involved with a psychic surgeon. And she believed Jesus Christ as her spirit guide. She was very confused because she didn't know her scriptures. She wasn't well grounded in the Bible, and she ended up in the New Age as a converted Christian. This happens a lot. She was told by her sister that what she was doing was of the occult. It was bad, that she needed to be really careful. She was resistant, but she was willing to go to Francis and Edith Schaeffer's Labrie. It's a Christian community. The Schaeffers are now deceased, but they had these communities. This one that Johanna went to was in Switzerland. Sarah Young was actually at Labrie in France when she had her encounter. So what Johanna did was she invoked James 1:5, and she prayed for wisdom from the Lord. And she basically prayed, Lord, if you lack wisdom, ask the Lord, unwavering faith, and he will give you the answer. So she prayed, and she basically prayed, Lord, what I'm doing in Mexico City, you know, I don't know if it's from you or not. My sister's very concerned that it's not, but I want you to convict me if it's not of you. If not, I'm going back to Mexico City. So she said she got conviction. And very shortly after that, she tested what she called her meditation laboratory. She would go into meditation, you know, this idea of be still, going into the silence, and then listening to hear what Jesus tells you. This is what the church is being told today. Well, she went into her meditation, and Jesus Christ, quote unquote, Jesus Christ, her spirit guide, appeared, and she did, I'm going to read exactly what she said. She said to this Jesus Christ, you're not the Jesus in the Bible, are you? I challenged the figure of Jesus, which stood before me in the shadows. There was no reply. His eyes were closed. Mamacita stood close by him. This was another spirit guide. Then I command you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, tell me, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God uniquely incarnate in human flesh? A violent flash, as though from a powerful bomb, brought the walls of my amethyst and gold laboratory down all around me. When I looked up, my counselors had vanished. There's a perfect example of using 1 John 4:1, confronting a spirit and watching a spirit that was impersonating Jesus Christ leave. There is not one mention in Sarah Young's book about testing the spirits. I have yet to hear any of the high-profile Christian leaders who are telling people to do contemplative prayer, to listen for the voice of Jesus, whether it be John Piper, Beth Moore, Francis Chan, Bill Hybels, or any of the many others, Rick Warren. I have yet to hear any of them say, but make sure you test the spirits if you do this. I gave an example yesterday of a whole stadium full of people that were told by some of these same people to, they would read scripture. I think Beth Moore read from Ephesians, and then now listen. Larry showed it on his slide thing, you know, ask Jesus to speak to you now. No warnings about testing the spirits. Those of us in the New Age, that's how we communicated with the spirit world. You know, we thought it was God. We thought it was good. We were sincere, but we were sincerely wrong. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to describe a little bit about how I came to write this book, because contrary to what a lot of people think about discernment people, we're really not out there looking for trouble all the time, but yet things are brought to our attention. We also want to be fulfilling whatever role the Lord has given us in terms of warning the church about things that are coming into the church. I was about to go to a conference in La Crete, northern Alberta, and I prepared my 5 talks, and just before I left, one of the women involved with the conference said, Warren, what do you know about the book Jesus Calling? I said, not that much. I saw it at Costco. I know it's got problems. And she said, could you look into it? So I went down to the local Christian bookstore, and I was amazed to see it piled this high. And I think our friends over here from San Jose have been to the Christian bookstore right across the street, and it's plentiful over there. Not only is there Jesus Calling, she's got 3 other books that are spin-off books. There's a Jesus Calling for kids. There's a calendar. There's greeting cards. It's a multi-million dollar industry, and it's all in the name of Jesus. And the Jesus of Jesus Calling, I believe, is a false Christ, and he's in the church. False Christs, to many people, not only in the world, but in the church, brings up memories of Jim Jones, People's Temple, David Koresh at Waco. There was a character in San Francisco when I was there. He called himself Jesus Christ Satan, if you can believe that. He actually ran for the Board of Supervisors, and of course in San Francisco he got some votes. But this is the stereotype, the caricature that I think, you know, the adversary wants us to have about false Christ. Not the false Christ of A Course in Miracles that I talked about yesterday, that Oprah has been pushing, the New Age Christ who's very serious and has a serious agenda of turning the Bible upside down, all in the name of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, using Christian terminology. So I saw all these books, and I got one, and I read it on the plane, and I was convicted to do a talk when I got to the conference. And then afterwards, I realized, you know, and this is how I end up writing books. It's like with Purpose Driven Life, everybody around me was reading the Purpose Driven Life. And I read the book and I went, wait a minute, there's some serious problems here. And I delineated a couple of them yesterday. And then I just kind of hang my head and I go, oh, you want me to write another book? You know, it's not like we're going out looking for this stuff. But at the same time, nobody seemed to be warning about Rick Warren. And I've heard, I still, even with my book, it's been out 1 year now, just about a year, Another Jesus Calling. I haven't heard any major Christian leader ever critique this book. To the contrary, on James Robeson's program, where Beth Moore has a Wednesdays with Beth, she actually featured the book one day, and I think somebody said, you know, this is a little controversial or whatever, and it quickly came down. But I don't think one of the reasons that it's being addressed is because this book, Jesus Calling, is accomplishing what many Christian leaders want, which is to get contemplative prayer as a solid, acceptable part of the Christian church, even though there's problems. I think if you really force some people into a corner and ask them about this book, they'd say, well, you know, I don't know, I've got problems or whatever. Now, I'm going to be a little bit more methodical in what I do here, but I want to go through the book, and I want to do this for two reasons. One, lest Satan get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices, 2 Corinthians 2:11. We need to be aware of this book. Many of our friends and relatives, coworkers, are reading this book. Somebody's probably tried to give it to you or will try to give it to you sometime in the future. You want to be aware of it. And the other thing is just the New Age, the agenda of the Antichrist is coming into the church. And there's elements in this book, many elements that play into this whole agenda of turning biblical Christianity into a compromised New Age, new spirituality, new worldview, New Age Christianity, if you will, but there is no such thing. Many of the elements that I was involved in the New Age have come in through this book. We've seen other ways that it's kind of reached in, but this is the most outrageous and one of the most popular ways that I've seen since I've been a believer, which is over 30 years now. Sarah Young said that my journey began with a devotional book, God Calling, written in the 1930s by two women who practiced waiting in God's presence, writing the messages they received as they listened. Not one woman, but two have written this book, and they seek no praise. They've elected to remain anonymous and to be called two listeners. These were two English women in the 1930s, pencil in hand. They just waited to hear what Jesus would tell them and then wrote down what he said. And these messages, they called them messages, were compiled in the form of a devotional, which is the book God Calling, which made its way into the church in a way in the 1980s that actually was one of the popular books in the 1980s. But the claim which they made is an astonishing one, that their message has been given to them today here in England by the living Christ himself. So actually, God Calling is really the living Christ calling. It's really, it could have been called Jesus Calling. So Sarah Young's book title is taken right after this book. She says she was inspired. And she also said, during the same year I began reading God Calling, a devotional book written by two anonymous listeners, these women practiced waiting quietly in God's presence, pencil and paper in hand, recording the messages they received from him. These messages are written in the first person with I designating God. This little paperback became a treasure to me. It dovetailed remarkably well with my longing to live in Jesus' presence. The following year, I began to wonder if I too, like the two listeners, could receive messages during my times of communing with God. I'd been writing in prayer journals for years, but that was one-way communication. I did all the talking. I knew that God communicated with me through the Bible, but I yearned for more. Like Larry said yesterday, I need, I want more than the sufficiency of the Bible. And by the way, this is how the extra-biblical teachings come in. That's the Course in Miracles I talked about yesterday, supposedly channeled from Jesus Christ. This is how the devil is going to get stuff into the church. It's got to come outside the Bible. So how are they going to do that? Contemplative prayer, waiting to be impressed and listening. If you're not hearing directly from God, then you're going to hear Sarah Young or someone else who's putting in a book form, and then you'll be getting this extra-biblical material from them. But I yearned for more. Increasingly, I wanted to hear what God had to say to me personally on a given day. I decided to listen to God with pen in hand, writing down whatever I believed he was saying. God Calling is a channeled New Age book. I knew that, but I told my wife when I was writing my book about it, I said, you know, for an ex-New Ager to say this is a New Age book, people will go, eh, he sees the New Age everywhere, which, by the way, I do. It is everywhere. And so I was down in my garage, and I looked on the bookshelf, and I forgot that I had gotten this book at the library book sale. It was called The Encyclopedia of New Age Beliefs by John Ankerberg and John Weldon. And they had a very lengthy chapter on channeling, and lo and behold, they described and nailed God Calling as a channeled New Age book, replete with biblical denials, impersonations of Christ. So there it is right there. It's not just your ex-New Ager. It's a couple people that are respected apologists in the church saying this is a channeled New Age book. So the question necessarily arises, why are we impressed with someone, Sarah Young, who's modeling her book and her procedure after two women, two occultists in England who are channeling, and it's called spiritual dictation. You take down what the Spirit tells you, write it down. That's what the Course in Miracles was. That's what God Calling is. That's what Jesus Calling is. However, as I mentioned yesterday, Thomas Nelson, the publisher, when my book came out, and there have been several other articles anyway, I'm not aware of any other books about Jesus Calling, when this whole issue of God Calling came up, all of a sudden in the new editions, all references to God Calling are gone. This is how much publishers care about the truth. Jeremiah 9:3 talks about those who are not valiant for the truth. I thought that was an amazing statement, valiant for the truth. In these days that we're living in, if you're not valiant for the truth, you're gonna get sucked under because it's really coming on strong. We're told in 2 Thessalonians that the ones that perished were those that did not have a love of the truth. Also, I mentioned that both in God Calling and now in Jesus Calling, they received messages. All references to messages in Jesus Calling have been washed from her book, sanitized, gone. The vice president of Thomas Nelson, not the publicist, but the vice president, said anyone who says there's any New Age implications to this book are sorely misinformed. They're taking an all-out attack. It reminds me very much of what came from Saddleback when I wrote Deceived on Purpose, The New Age Implications of the Purpose-Driven Church. I would have really respected Sarah Young if she had recognized that she got fooled. I would have really respected that. She could have done a tremendous favor for the church. She could be a heroine of the church if she said, you know what, I blew it. I thought I was listening to Jesus. I realized there's some serious errors here, but she's gone along with the publisher. And I'm not quite sure, you know, if she's just so clearly deceived or if she's, I know she has a lot of illnesses and sicknesses. You'll never see this woman on TV. She's not on the radio. All of her interviews are done through Thomas Nelson. Interestingly, the two listeners were anonymous. The two listeners in England were anonymous. You couldn't really talk to them. You can't really talk to Sarah Young either. And the publicist is not very available because we've tried. So what's wrong with this picture? For a Christian like Sarah Young not to recognize God Calling as an occult New Age book, but rather to describe it, as she does, as a treasure to me. She said that God Calling was a treasure to her. And that brings up Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So number one, and that's probably enough right there, to close up Jesus Calling and throw it away. Modeled after a channeled New Age book. But I'll just go through a couple other concerns about God Calling, and then we'll get to Jesus Calling. God Calling, the one that the two listeners did, is permeated with New Age terminology. Universal spirit, divine forces, God power, oneness, spirit consciousness. These terms at one point in time were easily discernible as New Age terms. Now they're coming into the church, and it's almost kind of like they're actually, and Larry talked about this in a recent article that he wrote, that Bethel Church up in Redding, California, is saying, we need to get back what the New Age took from us. We need to make it ours. No, there's a lot of terminology here that needs to be identified as New Age. That just gets things confused, and God is not the author of confusion. In God Calling, the two listeners received messages that talked about God's universal spirit. The living Christ, quote-unquote Christ, of God Calling said, it's only the work of the universal spirit, my spirit, that counts. Remember that truth is many-sided. Boy, does that open the door. The universal Christ is the one that the New Age is going to welcome. And I don't know if it's a whole nother talk, but the universal Christ will be the Christ to the Christians, Christ to the Jews. He will meet the needs of each individual faith because it will be a universal Christ, the Christ that is in everyone. They actually talk about the Master Jesus who will accompany the Christ. Jesus is just a Christ, not the Christ. And the Master Jesus will be one of those that comes with the Christ, and it says he will head up the church in Rome in their adoration and devotion to the Christ. It's interesting in Eugene Peterson's The Message, continually referring to Jesus as the Master Jesus, the Master Jesus, the Master Jesus. The Message is just filled with all sorts of New Age overlay. It's a mixed bag. It's a mixed message. Truth is not many-sided. That opens the door to, like, you know, you've got your truth, I've got mine. That was a common saying that we all had and still out there. God in everyone, we talked about this thoroughly, I hope, yesterday. The living Christ of God Calling says, wherever the soul is, I am. Man has rarely understood this. I am actually at the center of every man's being. Another part of this God Calling book is a name it and claim it type teaching. The living Christ, quote unquote, says, command your Lord. Command your Lord? That's kind of like Joel Osteen's declarations. It's kind of like, my will be done. He says, I who could command a universe await the commands of my children. Larry was talking about this yesterday. They're going to command hurricanes to back off. They're going to, it's like, because this philosophy, this new worldview that we're all Christ, we have God within us, they say, so the world in unison can agree on new rules and can command in the name of God, because we are God, they say. And this is being accepted on a wide level. And as I mentioned, men like Leonard Sweet are bringing it at full-fledged into the church. Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, the father of the New Age movement, has been brought into the church by people like Leonard Sweet and Rick Warren. Claim really big things now. Remember, nothing is too big. Think health. Health comes. The Bible teaches that we don't demand, command, affirm, and declare that our will be done. It's your will, Lord. Your will be done, not mine. Experience replaces God's word. Do you see how this contemplative prayer turns everything into an experiential thing, where we're no longer just reading and studying the word of God. We're waiting to hear what God would tell us today. Maybe he's doing something new, and that's what we're being told. There's a new thing going on. Revival's coming. Revival's coming? I read the Bible and it said things are waxing worse and worse, evil men and seducers. And that's exactly what I see, having come out of the New Age and what's going on, not only in the world, but in the church. How about this one from the Christ of God Calling? Know no theology, know me. Your relationship with Jesus becomes a living relationship where you're hearing directly from him. He will lead you. He will lead you. Don't rely on your Bible. Rely on the latest word from Jesus. I've got a word from Jesus. We hear this all the time now. What word did you get? Here's the word I got. Oh, wow, it's the same word. Confirmation. No. You know, that's another one of those meant-to-be things that is meant to be by whom? How about this one? The living Christ of God Calling says, I need you more than you need me. We could have any of our other speakers talk about that one. As a matter of fact, one of them did in terms of Acts 17:24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. New Truth and New Revelation, the God, the Jesus of God calling, the living Christ of God calling. Now watch this, because this is what's coming in. He says, for you, my children, I will unlock the secret treasures hidden from so many. When we were in the New Age, we were always made to feel like we were really special, like we had a special role and we were getting special channeled information, the Course in Miracles. I really believe that Oprah and all those in the New Age, they really believe that God's doing a new thing, bringing in new information, and these old, tired old biblical Christians are just pounding out this 2,000-year-old Bible. But just so happens that this 2,000-year-old Bible described everything I was involved in, helped me get out of it, and has helped me to stand for 30 years. It's just an incredible book. But we're getting things like The Message that are diminishing, trying to diminish the Word of God, pulling away from the Word of God. We were just kidding at lunch, and I actually, in El Paso, Texas, I was talking about The Message and Eugene Peterson. Eugene Peterson, I'll just give you a quick example. For 2 Peter 1:16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables, we made known unto you the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, is in the King James. And what Eugene Peterson translated as is, we weren't, you know, just wishing upon a star. Gone is cunningly devised fables. We weren't, you know, just wishing upon a star, which sounds a little bit more like Jiminy Cricket than skewering the shack, which Eugene Peterson has a front page endorsement of. So he got rid of cunningly devised fables and put his endorsement on the front of a cunningly devised fable. It's kind of an interesting proposition. This living Christ says, I am revealed. Well, but what I was going to say is, in El Paso, Texas, I just was in a, you know, we've been having a good time. The musicians and I had had a lot of talks. And right in the middle of my talk, I said about Eugene Peterson, I'm going to sit right down and write myself a Bible. I'm going to make believe it came from God. I mean, that's basically what he did. He sat down and rewrote the Bible. And we've got Christian leader after Christian leader after Christian leader who have endorsed and or are using this book all the time. I'm revealing so much to you. Pass it on. Each truth is a jewel. More truths will flow in. It's all based on this whole quantum revelation that I believe is ready to be unleashed, where we're going to suddenly hear that the God particle is just that. It's the God particle. God is a force field. His force infuses all of his creation, including all human beings. It's going to be something like in the future where when Neil Armstrong stepped on the moon and he said, it's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. In the future, when they bring all this stuff forward, they're going to say, spiritually, one small step for man, one quantum leap for mankind. We're going to hear things like that. I've come for the precious, not just for the precious few, the false Christ will say, I've come for the precious many. It's going to be slick. It's going to be using biblical language, but it's going to twist everything. That's probably sufficient for God calling. I hope you see that this book should never have been used by Sarah Young. She should not have been inspired by it. She was obviously a new, uninformed, undiscerning Christian. And, you know, in a court of law, when you take the oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, if you don't tell the truth, you get fined, you get put in prison. Today, if you don't tell the truth, the whole truth, and everything but the truth, like in this book, Jesus Calling, you become a celebrity, a Christian celebrity, and a multi-million dollar beneficiary. It's unbelievable. You publish books in the Christian faith, which is supposed to be the truth, and you have things in there that aren't true, and you make millions of dollars, and you deceive the church. It's incredible. Okay, Jesus Calling. Here are some of the teachings from the Jesus that Sarah Young listened to, and she said that she took down messages from him and that she wanted to share those messages with her reader. Now it's what I gleaned from the Holy Spirit with my Bible opened. Messages are gone. Okay, here's what her Jesus said. And I'm putting a number of these things together. Let me control your mind, says this Jesus. My main work is to clear out debris and clutter, making room for my spirit to take full possession. A little bit of mockery there? Sit quietly in my presence, letting my thoughts reprogram your thinking. Sound like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Come to me with your defenses down. Gosh, that's kind of the opposite of Ephesians 6, putting on the full armor of God and standing fast against the wiles of the devil. Worship me only. Okay, that's sounding like who we know who. I'm training you to think my thoughts. Approach this day with an awareness of who is boss. Your relationship with me is meant to be vibrant and challenging as I invade more and more areas of your life. I'm molding your mind. I've taken up residence within you. If that's not Jesus Christ, you're in big trouble. And there are people that get really mad when you suggest that this book might not be from the Lord. They get really mad. I had one woman that wrote back an email to her friend and said, Warren Smith ought to get a life. He's demonic. I mean, it's like people are getting nasty with this stuff. It's the breath of the persecution that I think we're all going to feel as we don't go along with these things. Channeling becomes a common word in Jesus' calling. I'm training you, the Jesus of Jesus' calling says, I'm training you to find me in each moment and to be a channel of my loving presence. Be a channel of my love and joy and peace. Another one of those overlapping terms that used to be channeling was, you know, the word channel can be used in different contexts, but it's so clearly delineated in the New Age and what we did and what people done to channel books that just to use the term loosely like that is just very, very confusing and dangerous. There's no mention of testing the spirits. 1 John 4:1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist where you've heard that it should come and even now is already in the world. What happened when Johanna Michelson confronted her spirit with 1 John 4:1? She said her laboratory exploded and that false Christ disappeared. Same thing when we read Johanna's book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, we had that presence, and I told you how I called on the Lord, commanded in Jesus' name, and that presence left. Talk about presence with a capital P, which is throughout her book, as Larry described yesterday. You know, when I was a kid, and we spent the night at our friend's house, and it would get kind of weird at like 2 o'clock in the morning, we'd go, ooh, it's kind of a presence around here. But the word presence is just taking on this wonderful meaning. Like it's just, you know, presence with a capital P is always God. It's always Jesus. It's always the Holy Spirit. It's just not the case. On the January 28th and in the October 15th so-called devotion or message, the Jesus of Jesus calling contradicts the Bible. He says, I am with you always. These are the last words I spoke before ascending into heaven. Those words were spoken on a mount in Galilee, Matthew 28 and 16 and 20, in Acts 1, 7 to 9, on the Mount of Olives, when Jesus was taken up, was the Mount of Olives. His last statement was that you're going to be my witnesses. And I described this in the book, and I actually quoted Larry. Larry gave a little dissertation on this, and I quoted it in the book. So you could almost imagine Sarah Young confronted with this contradiction. And by the way, a new edition, a 10th anniversary edition of her book, it came out in 2004. It's doubled in sales every year up through this year. 10th anniversary edition. It's going to be interesting to see what else they deal with. Now, this contradiction is a real problem for them. What I would have anticipated Sarah Young doing was saying, well, I must have heard it wrong. Jesus never makes a mistake. I must have heard it wrong. Well, interestingly, she's got this contradiction in two separate messages. So she heard it wrong twice. Sarah Young is not a credible person, and we cannot talk to her. She's unavailable. You can only go through her publisher, as I mentioned. This is very slick. I mean, you just can't even get at the woman at all. And they're refusing to respond to a lot of our queries about these things. The Jesus of Jesus calling says this, the future is a phantom seeking to spook you. Laugh at the future. Now, is that what we're all getting about the times that we're living in as these end days are moving more and more upon us? Laugh at the future. You know, the Jesus of A Course in Miracles says that the world is going to end in laughter. That's interesting. We have Holy Ghost bartender Rodney Howard Brown with his laughing revival up in Toronto, making a reappearance. We're having a revival, all right, but it's a revival of Rodney Howard Brown and the usual suspects that he brings with him. We're to be sober. We're to be vigilant. Does that mean we can't share a laugh or have a sense of humor? Of course not. But to say the future is a phantom seeking to spook you, laugh at the future. Jesus said, be sober, be vigilant, be watchful. Behold, I've told you these things ahead of time. What? Not to spook you, but so you won't be offended. I want you to listen to some of these comments that the Jesus of Jesus Calling says and see if these sounds like, if this sounds like the kind of things that your Lord and Savior would say. When you trustingly whisper my name, my aching ears are soothed. When you walk through a day in trusting dependence on me, my aching heart is soothed. I'm aching to hold you in my everlasting arms, to enfold you in my love. Folks, these wouldn't make it onto a Hallmark card, a bad one. I mean, this is not our Lord and Savior, and I'm not quite sure why 11 million Christians rising every day are buying into this. Feel your face tingle as you bask in my love light. This is the one that really gets me. When your joy in me meets my joy in you, there are fireworks of heavenly ecstasy. Seventh concern, by the way, I listed 10 concerns about God calling and then 20 concerns about Jesus calling. I did this so that when somebody tries to give you the book, you'll be able to refute them. It's just like we've been talking in apology. You want to be able to defend. You don't want to just say, oh, that's a bad book. You know, don't read that. Oh, throw it in the garbage. People are really attached to this book. One woman said that she realized later that when she stopped reading Jesus Calling because she wasn't reading her Bible, she said she went through withdrawal, like spiritual withdrawal. She could feel it. Another woman said that she realized that there was a spirit that came with that book. Some people sit down to read Jesus Calling and it just immediately feels good. Just like when I read some of my New Age books, I just felt really good when I was reading it. Oh man, this is a good book. No, it just, there's a spiritual influence that comes at you when you're reading it that makes you feel that way. How about this one? The Jesus of Jesus Calling says, take time to rest by the wayside. Remember where the wayside was in the parable of the sower and the seed? That's where the devil goes and takes, pulls away the word of God out of men's hearts. That's not a place to rest. It's a place to be on guard. That's in Matthew 13, 18 to 19, if you want to look at that. Take time to rest by the wayside. And interestingly, the two listeners were also given a similar mocking message. I believe that's mockery of the reader. In God at Eventide, a companion book to God Calling, in a section entitled Wayside Meetings, the two listeners, Jesus said, recall our many meetings by the wayside. So this is an overlap with God Calling, which is also somewhat suspicious. Eighth point that I made, visualizing Jesus. Sarah Young engaged in the occult New Age practice of creative visualization when she pictured her family encircled by God's protective presence. Here's what she writes in Jesus Calling. One morning as I prayed, I visualized God protecting each of us. I pictured first our daughter, then our son, then Steve, encircled by God's protective presence, which looked like golden light. When I prayed for myself, I was suddenly enveloped in brilliant light and profound peace. This next sentence is now missing from the most recent editions. I lost all sense of time as I experienced God's presence in this powerful way. It's being toned down. It's being, you know, here's the problem for Thomas Nelson. Sarah Young, her first edition of this book went out on a little known press and it was out there. So Thomas Nelson had to deal with what she had. And they've been changing it and rearranging it, especially in the last year. But they couldn't just go completely crazy because we have the original book that she did and that was out there for a number of years. So Sarah Young had unwittingly engaged in the occult New Age practice of creative visualization. Believers can pray and ask for God's protection, but we're not to try and orchestrate that protection through our own creative powers. God will not be manipulated by us nor by our techniques, especially when they are of the occult. We're not going to incubate a conversation with God by reading scripture as Beth Moore did at the Passion Conference, and then he's going to be just so happy that we read scripture that he's going to speak to each person in that auditorium. You know, our God is creative. He can certainly do whatever he wants. He can talk through a donkey if he wants to. He can talk to any of us right now if he wants to. But it isn't like, you know, late at night in San Francisco, when there was nowhere else to eat years ago, we'd go to Jack in the Box. We'd pull up to this metal box and we would hear, Jack will speak to you now. Isn't that kind of what we're talking about here? I mean, this is formulaic. It's not of the Lord. How about this one? The December 25th message/devotion. Jesus says, try to imagine what I gave up when I came into this world as a baby. I set aside my glory so that I could identify with mankind. I accepted the limitations of infancy under the most appalling conditions, a filthy stable. That was a dark night for me. That was a dark night for me. You know what my wife said? She said, I know who that was a dark night for, with the night that Jesus was born. Our adversary. This is mockery. And my guess is that it was not a filthy, a stable is a stable, but my guess is that it was probably clean, it was probably fine. But that was the appalling conditions, a filthy stable, that was a dark night for me. You know, he's like 30 seconds into the world and he's complaining already. That doesn't sound like our Lord. I don't see him complaining about anything. I see him being concerned about people being deceived. How about this one? The August 23rd message. Remember the extreme measures I used with Abraham and Isaac. I took Isaac to the very point of death to free Abraham from son, S-O-N, worship. Both Abraham and Isaac suffered terribly because of the father's undisciplined emotions. I detest idolatry, even the form of parental love. Excuse me, I don't get that at all. I have a friend who really, he doesn't like discernment that much. He's a good believer, but he doesn't. He said, Warren, he said, that's blasphemy. That's enough right there to close up that book and just throw it away. Worship, from what I can gather, the first time the word worship was introduced was in this area of the Bible. Abraham into idolatry and son worship with Isaac, undisciplined emotions. So this was a disciplinary act rather than a foreshadowing. Do you see the mockery? That there's mockery, there's denigration, it's unbiblical, this is experiential, it flatters the reader. You know, it continually tells the reader how much the reader is appreciated by Jesus, and that you're going to be in heaven. There's nothing, you know, there's occasional things that are thrown in about the cross or something, and people will try to point to those, but what about all this other stuff? If a little leaven leavens the whole lump, a whole lot of leaven really leavens this whole book. Contemplative prayer, the New Age in Psalm 46:10. The whole idea of contemplative prayer is it's really just a guise for meditation, which is what we did in the New Age, where you basically just go empty. And you just they say, no, not empty. You recite scripture. Be still and know that I am God. Why do they use Psalm 46:10? We used to use that at an Edgar Cayce conference for meditation. If we're going into meditation, it went sort of like this. Be still and know that I am God. That's what we did. Why are they overlapping? Why are they using that? I mean, again, any of the men that have spoken here this weekend could do a dissertation on how that is not what Psalm 46:10 is saying. It's not calling us to contemplative prayer, as Sarah Young and Beth Moore and so many others are saying. It's basically, it's a comfort to God's people, and I think it's a warning to the nations. Be still and know that I am God. It's about his sovereignty. It's not a call to meditation. And biblical meditation, as we said yesterday, has more to do with thinking actively on his statutes, testimonies, works. You know, it's an active process. It isn't this guise of meditation called contemplative prayer. Contemplative prayer is just a euphemism to get you away from true biblical meditation. Why don't they just call it biblical meditation and stay with that? Because they've got to get you into meditation. A couple of scriptures that are helpful, I think, when it comes to this is 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing, like a false Jesus trying to bang in and give you a message, that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, contradicting what the Bible says, and bringing into captivity, we're to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The Jesus of God calling said, remember that I can work through you better when you are at rest. Similarly, the Jesus of Jesus calling told Sarah Young, I can do my best handiwork when you are in the stillness of my presence, focusing your entire being on me. Interestingly, the New Age community of Fintorn, which is one of the pioneering New Age communities in Scotland, was founded by Peter and Eileen Caddy. Eileen Caddy founded Fintorn on the saying, "Be still and know that I'm God," Psalm 46:10. She was meditating, and she heard the words, "Be still and know that I am God." I'll just read to you what she said, and you tell me why we're not hearing any of this in the church, as we have teacher after teacher after teacher quoting Psalm 46:10 to get us to do contemplative prayer. She said, "Yes, we were like children then, and God was still somewhat like the Father, separate and above us, reaching down to help. But gradually, I have to come to understand what it means to find that same God within myself. The first time I heard this voice was in 1953 when Peter and I were visiting Glastonbury, a center of spiritual power in England. I was sitting in the stillness of a small private sanctuary there when I heard a voice, very clear voice within me. I'd never experienced anything like that before. It simply said, 'Be still and know that I am God.' What's this?" I thought, "am I going mad?" I'd been brought up in the Church of England and learned in Sunday school about the still small voice within, but when you actually hear a voice, it's a different matter. I was really quite shocked because it was so clear. Then God told her, "What greater or more wonderful relationship could man ask for than the knowledge that he is truly one with me and that I am in you and you are in me?" She's not a believer. This is the founding of a New Age community on Psalm 46:10. And she later wrote, "Accepting the reality of this oneness came slowly. In fact, at first I felt it was audacious even to speak of such a thing, yet I couldn't deny my experience. I couldn't deny my experience. I had a ball of light over my head. I was told that I had help on the other side. I couldn't deny my experience." Yes, you can. You deny it by refuting it with the Word of God. You study to show yourself approved, and you rightfully divide the Word of God, and you have to. The Bible is the only thing that gets us through this maze of confusion that the devil has laid out and has been planting seeds for years. The crop is coming up, and it's strangling the church, and we don't seem to have any Christian leaders who really want to address it. I'm not talking about pastors or men in these conferences, but I'm talking about the people that have the big names. We're not hearing, you know, anything significant about deception. 1 Corinthians 14:8, we mentioned yesterday, "If the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle?" There was a statement that was in the introduction to Mein Kampf, was written by a man who's done a lot of study of Hitler. And he said that the best method of concealment is the boldest audacity of putting it right, you know, hidden in plain sight. The best method of concealment is the boldest presentation, right? I mean, it's all there. I'm reading to you a book that is the number one best-selling Christian book as we speak, and many people in this room never even heard of it. Now, I'm not saying that to give you a hard time, but we need to be aware of these things, and I think that's one reason that, you know, we have conferences like this, because, you know, maybe you've been fortunate enough to be sequestered enough in your church that nobody's giving it to you, but all these other people out there are. And it's really important that you bring, you know, some kind of a defense. And even if you just ask good questions, like, did you know that the Jesus of Jesus calling contradicts himself twice in terms of the Bible, at least in regards to talking about, "Lo, I'll be with you always"? And, you know, if they say, "Well, I don't care," then say, "Well, I guess you don't care about God's truth." I mean, start a conversation, ask a question, just don't hit them over the head, you know, with the truth, but just be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. I mentioned the Brother Lawrence is used by Rick Warren and others as an example. He had the book, The Practice of the Presence of God. And we hear that term, practicing the presence. It's very common in the church right now. And it goes back to Brother Lawrence. And Brother Lawrence says the same thing. When I ordered The Practice of the Presence of God from Amazon books, they happened to send me The Practice of the Presence of God plus his Spiritual Maxims, which just came out after being out of print for 200 years. And basically what he said in those Spiritual Maxims is that God is in your soul. He's at the center of your being. So here we go again. And that's in the Catholic Catechism, as I mentioned yesterday. Okay, this is a big one. Co-creation. In my book, False Christ Coming, Does Anybody Care?, which we didn't have very many copies, but I think some of you got a copy, Barbara Mux Hubbard, who actually was nominated for vice president at the 1984 National Democratic Convention, is one of the biggest New Age leaders. She wrote a book called The Book of Co-Creation. It's this whole idea that as we are, all of humanity as God, can co-create the future. Lo and behold, co-creation pops up in Jesus' calling. In Jesus' calling, Jesus mentions, quote-unquote Jesus, mentions a key New Age term, co-creation. Many people do not realize that co-creation is a New Age evolutionary concept that teaches that man, as God, co-creates with God because man is God also, but man is not God. So here's what Barbara Mux Hubbard's Christ told her in the channeled teaching that she got. Here we are, this Christ, this New Age Christ says, poised either on the brink of destruction greater than the world has ever seen, a destruction which will cripple planet Earth forever and release only the few to go on, a little scary there, scare everybody, or on the threshold of global co-creation, wherein each person on Earth will be attracted to participate in his or her own evolution to godliness. Neil Donald Walsh, channeling God in his number one best-selling book on Amazon for 2.5 years, number one. Many Christians have never heard of the book, Conversations with God. His God tells him this. This was right after September 11th. Let me make something clear. The era of the single Savior is over. What is needed now is joint action, combined effort, collective co-creation. In Jesus' calling, Sarah Young's Jesus says, this is a very practical way of collaborating with me. I, the creator of the universe, have deigned to co-create with you. Do you see how these terms are worked from the devil into the world, into the New Age, and now into the church? And it's again, it's like, here's the world, here's the church. One. At-one-ment. It's not atonement anymore, folks. The era of the single Savior is over. It's at-one-ment. We're all one because God is in everyone and everything. This co-creation, the New Age concept that entails the necessity of man recognizing that he is God and is acting as God to co-create a positive future. This means to accomplish this has been laid out by the New Age Christ in Barbara Mux Hubbard's book, The Revelation. Christ says to Barbara Mux Hubbard, at the moment of cosmic contact, I will appear to you both through inner experience. That's what the church is being told to do right now, experience Jesus. And through external communication in your mass media, the nervous system of the world. You will all feel, hear, and see my presence in one instant in time, each in your own way. Don't ask me how the devil does it. We have incredible technology that we probably don't even half understand. But the stuff that we're looking at now, they've probably got stuff. Are you noticing how every week there's some new technological increase? And it's an evolutionary model technologically that sort of induces you to believe that we are spiritually evolving. So when you see a Muscle Milk ad that says, drink, evolve, it's a little bit deeper than just an ad for Muscle Milk. Or when you see a Michael Jordan sitting on the sidelines with the flu at the end of a key basketball game that where everything's on the line, he's got a towel over his head, and he is sitting there, and there's like 10 seconds left, and they're down like 2 points, and he throws the towel off of his head. Even though he's got the flu, he grabs his Gatorade, drinks it, puts it back down, runs on the court. They pass him the ball, swish, 3 points. They win by a point, and on the screen flashes win from within. Gatorade. There's a tremendous conditioning going on through advertising, through all of these things. Rethink possible, AT&T. The future can change in an instant, rethink possible. I mean, just be aware of these things. You know, I was watching some playoff football at the end of last year, and we don't have TV, but I was watching these games, and these things were coming up one after another. You know, Jeep, you know, I have the master plan. What does that have to do with Jeeps? You know, and it says that wickedness will be in high places. Well, if you're high up in advertising and you don't have the Lord, are you listening to the Holy Spirit or the unholy spirit? It's like probably simple to put these things through. Same thing with the whole idea of this quantum leap, quantum physics, this leap to a new understanding, to a new worldview. The same Barbara Marx Hubbard's Christ says, a quantum transformation is the time of selection of what evolves from what devolves. The species known as self-centered humanity, spell that those who are biblical Christians and don't believe in humanity's divinity, will become extinct. The species known as whole-centered humanity, those who believe that everyone is God, will evolve. In other words, if you want to survive in the future, this is another one. Sports Illustrated had a picture of a basketball player from Indiana. Larry probably knows the guy's name. He was a star player a couple years ago. Anyway, the name of the article for this basketball player on the front cover was The New Normal, Adapt or Die. Hello? Basketball? Then you go to the article, and it talked about to survive, you must evolve. This is all just working together. It's kind of like the devil would say, all things work together for bad for those who don't like the Bible. Did I say that right? I mean, it's like all things are working for bad, but it looks like they're working for good. But they're not. They're conditioning and programming people to accept all these new teachings. Here's one. The Christ of the New Age refers to the birth. Well, let me read to you what... My wife says, don't do this, Warren. Don't do this. Know what you're doing when you're up there. One time I was talking and she was watching a DVD. I never watched them. And she said, Warren, was there any particular reason you had a bottle of water in your hand for the whole time you talked? I said, I had a bottle of water in my hand. She says, yeah, you did. Anyway, what the Jesus of Jesus Calling says is that when you take that quantum leap, I'll be waiting for you in heaven. So that term quantum leap is right in Jesus Calling. The Christ of the New Age refers to the birth of a new humanity that's awakening to the understanding that we're all one, that we're all God. Humanity is described as an emerging butterfly that is still in the chrysalis or cocoon stage as it prepares to emerge into oneness from its caterpillar stage, that of a butterfly. And there's a whole paragraph there. But here's the saying that comes from the New Age. Create the cocoon of light, materialize my body in the light of your mind's eye. Visualize yourselves entering the cocoon and placing your body in my body of light, giving it permission to become a new body like mine. It's already pre-programmed to change. What does the Jesus of Jesus Calling say? I am all around you like a cocoon of light. Are you getting the idea? There's this overlap of terms. You know, people that are doing contemplative prayer and getting very agitated when people like us are questioning, you know, the authenticity of this Jesus. The term of divine alchemy is used by the Jesus of Jesus Calling. The word divine alchemy, if you look it up in any occult dictionary, it's a metaphysical term that goes back to Hermes Trismegistus and Hermeticism. Divine alchemy. It's the occult. Okay, and this will be the last one, and this sort of is what it goes right back to yesterday, which is the book God Calling was the chief inspiration of Sarah Young to receive her own messages from Jesus. One of the chief messages of God Calling was that God is in everyone. But the true Jesus Christ never taught this. This is one of the many clues that lets us know that the two listeners were getting messages from a false Christ. How long before Sarah Young's Jesus quietly opens the same foundational New Age teaching or has in some way done this already? Her Jesus says, I am above all as well as in all. Same thing. It's a new worldview, folks. It's a new spirituality. It's the new Christianity, if you will. Are you going to be old-fashioned? Are you going to just hang on to your Bibles like just old Bible thumpers? I had a neighbor for 7 years. He told me about all the Bible thumpers in the neighborhood. And I told my wife one day, I said, you know, I got to talk to Amos one of these days. He was like 92 years old. I've got a witness to him. One day he was talking about he had a new caregiver. And she said, she's a Bible thumper, Warren. She prays before we eat. I said, Amos, you've been living next to two Bible thumpers for 7 years. He says, you're a Bible thumper? But this is the caricature that people have of those of us that hang on to the Bible and use it as the foundation of our life. So that's probably plenty. Hopefully, you know, you've picked up a copy. I think there were quite a few. I think Joe said there's still some left over there. Get a copy, even of my book, Another Jesus Calling, not Jesus Calling. But, you know, know what our enemy is up to. This is the number one. You know, it's just interesting. I'll just close with this. I was actually going to open with it. I don't know if anybody noticed, but the library's got a guest author that's coming. And there was a flyer up on the stand as we walked by to the bathroom. Authentic Happiness in 7 Emails, A Philosopher's Simple Guide to the Psychology of Joy, Satisfaction, and a Meaningful Life. It kind of reminded me of one that I left off yesterday when I was talking about all the people that have introduced God in everyone. How about this one from Glenn Beck, The 7 Wonders That Will Change Your Life? Okay, you got the 7 emails that'll give you authentic happiness. Glenn Beck's going to give you the 7 wonders that will change your life. Listen to what he says in this book. If God is everything and everywhere and inside everyone, then I figured he had to be inside me too. I wasn't here by accident. I was part of God's plan, and I had to respect that plan or at least not resent it. I had to respect myself as a part of him. My father's granola, hippie, New Age spirituality, which I actually believe, this guy's all over the place. He's being courted by Christian leaders. He's part of the team. There's going to be a big group of people down at the Washington Monument, all repenting in generic terms, singing Kumbaya with people like Rick Warren and Obama and Benny Hinn, and it's going to mean nothing. It won't be revival. This is the false revival that is coming at us. Don't be taken by these talks of, I've heard from God that a revival is coming. Why would God bring revival given the state of the church? The only way that revival is going to come is through repentance and through repentance of false teachings. It's not going to mean anything for Benny Hinn to join hands with Rodney Howard Brown and Holy Laughter and with John Piper and Beth Moore saying, oh, Lord, forgive us, generic types of things that just address the issues. There's a false new worldview being foisted on the church, and Jesus warned us about it. It's right there, Matthew 24, 2 Thessalonians, Paul. If you look seriously, even just like the New Testament, it's just riddled through there. False prophets, false teachers, dogs, just one thing after another. I had a list of about 20 ungodly men who crept in unawares. Is that what we're talking about? Of course that's what we're talking about. False brethren? Of course. Are we supposed to say, well, do you think he's a false brethren? No, I don't think we're supposed to do that. We're not supposed to try to figure this stuff out. It says, Jesus told us that we are to just leave them alone. We're to expose them, Ephesians 5. But this is to be taken care of by the Lord, not by us going out and rounding them up. So Jesus told us, behold, I have told you these things ahead of time so you won't be offended. He gave us everything we need to know. And part of what we need to know is how to stand in the face of persecution, to stand in the face of what's coming. And that may be the biggest test of all. And we need to get grounded. We need to know how this is coming at the church, at the world, and we need to stand against it. And our witness may just simply be, no, I'm not going to do that. Why not? Because it's not of God. What? I don't know how this is going to work, but I think some of our strongest witnessing lies before us as this thing plays out. So I want to thank Joe and everybody for having us speakers here. It's been a pleasure being with you, and I hope this has been helpful in some way.